is Jordan Seculo. A Democrat U.S. senator predicts the destruction of the U.S. Constitution because of the Kennedy retirement.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What's it going to look like if he gets his pick? If Trump gets what he wants here? What's the court going to look like for the next 30 years?
We're looking at a destruction of the Constitution of the United States, as far as I can tell, based on all of the folks that he's been appointing thus far for lifetime appointments.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
With so much at stake now, again, really sort of cementing in a conservative majority here, the president is expected to run into a buzzsaw of opposition from Democrats in Congress. The next vacancy after this one may be even more difficult because that could make the court 6-3.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Things you can't make up. That was a Democrat Senator Kamala Harris from California who said in a question from Chris Matthews that, what does this mean, this retirement by Justice Kennedy that happened yesterday? And her immediate reaction is it's the destruction of the Constitution, a document which has survived in its original form since 1788 with the amendments beginning in 1791 and those first 10 amendments that we call the Bill of Rights, but it's going to all be destroyed because a single Supreme Court justice has retired, and one will be replaced by President Trump. There was already one retirement that was replaced by President Trump, and the Constitution stood. They just may not like the direction the court is heading. Let me show you Planned Parenthood. Now, usually in their emails, Planned Parenthood does not use the word abortion. They don't use words like Roe. They don't use the key words that really tell you what they're all about, unless they're really scared. And this time, they're really scared. So in the Planned Parenthood, in their subject line of their grassroots email and petition email, it's breaking, Justice Kennedy retiring, Roe is on the line. That's what it says. And then they say, our right to safe and legal abortion is on the line. So they are not hiding what they are all about at Planned Parenthood. The entire body of the email is about abortion and the right to abortion. And one thing we could tell you, that though Justice Kennedy was known as this swing vote, he was a vote that was known as saving Roe versus Wade back in the 1990s in a case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey, where he was one of the votes to uphold the original Roe versus Wade decision. So he was kind of seen as that stalwart that was preventing Roe from going down. That is why you're seeing this level of outrage and almost this freaking out level that you're seeing from the left. I mean, the ACLU has gotten heavily involved. Again, they are saying that we're focused on continuing to fight in the courts, but we need to show up in the streets and to the polls. Elections are more important than ever, and if today doesn't prove the facts to you, I don't know what will. I mean, they're saying, yes, we'll keep fighting in the courts, but it's going to be very difficult for us to even win. And they don't even know who the nominee is going to be yet. But just based off the list of the 25 that President Trump has put out, they feel like even the ACLU is not going to be able to be victorious in court again. And again, the politicization of the Supreme Court, to this left and right idea. I mean, it's where we are at. Here's the Democrat Party's email. If there's any question whether the November elections would be the most important of our lifetime, the midterm elections, the most important of their lifetime, Justice Kennedy's retirement from the Supreme Court should remove all doubt. Now, that's interesting. It may give us some insight that the Democrats would like to hold over the vote on this nomination, which hasn't been made yet, to fill Justice Kennedy's seat until after the midterm elections. But we know Majority Leader McConnell in the Senate has said he wants to move forward and get this nominee confirmed in the fall. That would mean before the Supreme Court's term began in October. We're going to take your calls on this. What do you think about these comments like it's the destruction of the Constitution, like we're heading to some kind of actual war in our country over a Supreme Court nominee? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But how important do you think it is? But listen, this will shift the court in a direction that I think most of you agree with. 1-800-684-3110 to give us your opinion and your thoughts on what it means to have Justice Kennedy retiring and one of these 25 on President Trump's list. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
We've got one line open for you, 1-800-684-3110. We played for you. The senator from California believes that this is the beginning of the destruction of the Constitution in reference to Justice Kennedy retiring. Yes, one justice of the Supreme Court, where there are nine justices, if one retires, to her this means that the entire Constitution will begin its, I guess it will self-implode or self-destruct because of that one retirement. We have seen it from Planned Parenthood, who is not hiding around the term women's health or women's rights, but it's come right out in their grassroots email and in their email to get their petitions going, that it's all about Roe versus Wade, that's in the subject line, and about the right to legal abortion being on the line. I mean, it's bolded, it's all they talk about. What you won't see in here is women's health. That language they usually use that they say that they really care about the most is women's health and all those other services. That is not mentioned one time in their email about Justice Kennedy's retirement. The only thing mentioned is access to abortion. I mean, that alone, from the political side in Washington, D.C., when you see that from Planned Parenthood, you're seeing the real Planned Parenthood on display. Nothing in this email about women's health, all about abortion and Roe versus Wade.
They're in full-on panic mode, Jordan. You know, honestly, the Supreme Court of the United States has been one place they have been able to go for protection, because on the state level, both in the courts and then also through the legislatures, they have not been successful. And we talked about this in the break, but look, many of the elected officials are echoing those lines, people like Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand and Kamala Harris. But Jordan, those Democrat senators who have been open, at least, to a discussion on life, people like Joe Donnelly and Joe Manchin, they have not echoed those. So I would just encourage people to go to their elected senators and see what they are saying on this issue. For these senators, Jordan, who are running in states where President Trump won overwhelmingly, they are going to have to consider these nominees. But look, I think in the coming weeks, the rhetoric here in Washington, it's going to be white hot, and much of it is going to be on the abortion issue.
Yeah, I mean, I read the ACLU's email, and of course, the ACLU is primarily a legal organization, and they're almost changing in their tone about what they're going to become in light of this retirement. So they're saying, because of the Justice Kennedy retirement, he's leaving the Supreme Court at such a critical moment that whomever President Trump appoints to replace him will impact our civil rights and civil liberties for generations to come. In the next few years, right away, what do they mention? The court may decide on everything from access to the ballot box to, ding, 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 Roe versus Wade. So that's why we'll continue to fighting in the courts, but we need to show up in the streets and to the polls. They're asking people to become ACLU voters. So even they are shifting, in a sense, their strategy because you have this idea now that the court will no longer be a place for liberals to go and get what they want, basically. I mean, I think that, again, that's not what the courts were supposed to be about for partisan purposes. But you got to listen to this from Chris Matthews. Andy talked about it during our break for Facebook and Periscope. He literally said that there's a coming war. Now, I know this is Chris Matthews and it's MSNBC, but you have to play this Reddit because most of us are not going to hear it if we don't find it. We're not watching a lot of MSNBC, let's all be honest, but our team is, our production team is, so that you can hear this when it's important to know, because this is what the other side is being told, Byte 16.
I think this is going to be the fight of the century. I think the Democrats have to say, no way, non passario, no one passes this line. I think it's going to be almost like Spanish Civil War stuff. You watch the next few months.
I mean, it's a Supreme Court nominee. It's a single seat. It's not a presidential election. I mean, that we're being told the midterm election is the most important election ever. I know that politicians like to make people think that sometimes, but we're being told this single Supreme Court seat is the again the fight of the century. What are your thoughts of this, Harry? I mean, just the language that's being used. I know the left's had a very difficult time. We could talk about it over and over. They've never been able to get voters excited about Supreme Court nominees. Is this just them trying, doing everything they can to get people interested in this issue on the left? Because the right, it's a key issue. It always has been.
Absolutely. So I think the overheated rhetoric represents, in some sense, an overreaction to the Supreme Court's banner year in a number of areas of law, in the public sector labor arena, with respect to providing and ensuring freedom of speech for pro-life clinics, upholding the president's power in international affairs with respect to enhanced vetting of foreign aliens who wish to enter the country. Many of the views of the left, however, are very, very important for our listeners to consider, because one thing is absolutely clear: the left is exposing that there is one single litmus test, and that litmus test is abortion. Yep. And so many of the hyperbolic statements are really aimed at trying to gin up opposition so as to prevent the president from nominating a pro-life conservative who believes in the rule of law and the Constitution. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's almost all about abortion.
Every one of these emails, you know, Planned Parenthood, ACLU, Democrat Party. And then you said it, Harry, that's all about abortion. Here's Rachel Maddow. She certainly believes that. By 20.
Anthony Kennedy is very probably the reason that we have abortion rights in this country. And I think within a year, abortion will be illegal in half of the United States and because of this. And that's not necessarily a Trump issue. That's a Republican politics issue. But that's what this means.
So, again, that's really the focus is not on conservative judicial philosophy or liberal judicial philosophy. They believe that this entire decision, Roe versus Wade, which is one that has been highly criticized by honest people on the left and the right as not a very good opinion in finding this right to privacy somewhere in the Constitution. And we could go on and on about this in the show, but that's really all it's about. That all these other side issues about how you read the Constitution and how you view the Constitution and every other topic really doesn't matter to them. You could be 99% with the left on every issue, but if you happen to take this pro-life position, you believe that under the Constitution, Roe versus Wade was wrongly decided. That's it. That's enough for you to be voted down, and that's enough for a war to be declared over your nomination. Let's go to the phones. Robert in Maryland on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Fan. Hi, Carrie. I wanted to ask all three of you, why is Senator Kamala Walls of California saying that the Constitution is going to be destroyed because of the retirement of Justice Kennedy from the U.S. Supreme Court? I mean, how would that destroy the Constitution with just him stepping down?
Well, you know, I mean, I would say it wouldn't. It would destroy their sense of what the rights that emanate from the Constitution are, Harry. I mean, that's the key is that they won't get everything they want out of the Constitution. This could be a seismic shift. I think that this does underscore that. Justice Kennedy played, you know, he didn't like the role of being called the swing vote, but he did play that role. He mostly did vote with the conservatives, but on some very key issues, he did not. On the
Absolutely.
Marriage issue, on the abortion issue.
Absolutely.
And so on those issues, he was, again, on affirmative action on some other issues. So they see this as a significant change. The destruction of the Constitution becomes political rhetoric.
Absolutely. So Justice Kennedy, in my humble opinion, was a pure libertarian. And by that I mean he supported liberal preferences with respect to abortion rights, with respect to marriage and the like. So when Kamala Harris suggests that the Constitution will be destroyed imminently, essentially she means that her preferences will not necessarily be honored. No longer will there be a justice, at least President Trump gets his way and replaces, let's say, all of the liberal justices, no longer will there be a justice who believes in the so-called living constitutionalism that many liberals crave.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And Andy, just your thoughts. I mean, the idea, again, this going to war mentality or the violence in the streets is going to happen. This is some kind of riot moment in America. I mean, we got through the election of Donald Trump, and it wasn't like that. These end up being pretty, pretty boring people usually that get appointed to these positions. Let's be honest.
They do. And when you make statements like Chris Matthews made, and he made it wrong, by the way, he obviously doesn't know Spanish. He said no pasario. The expression was non pasarán, and it was made by Dolores Iburriere during the Spanish Civil War on the side of the loyalists. But he's obviously an idiot and shouldn't be using a foreign language that he doesn't understand and can't pronounce. But, I mean, making statements like we're going back to the 30s in Spain in the United States in the year 2018 is a foolish remark by a foolish man.
Yeah, it's getting – and then again, I think it distracts from the idea. They try to make this way more, partisan. And listen, it will be nasty. And I don't want to take away that it's a big deal. But they're trying to distract you from what's actually important about these nominations. And I just wanted to kind of underscore that for people today. It's already started. The war, the battle has already started, and the lines are being drawn very clearly. When we come back, more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And yesterday, with the retirement of Justice Kennedy, and we updated the broadcast for those of you who hear the show later in the day and updated for Facebook and Periscope as well after that retirement occurred, and got into some of that analysis with my dad as well. But today wanted to go a little bit deeper into what the reactions have been on the political side about this vacancy now at the U.S. Supreme Court. There are a lot of, again, specifics to walk through, but I got a good question that came in through Facebook on that specifically, was there any way for these Democrats to actually do anything? You know, we're hearing all this rhetoric, stop the voting, don't let them vote until after the midterm elections. You're not hearing the word filibuster because they can't do that. So I'm going to go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. I mean, Than, you're saying it during the break, but it's really, this is up to Republicans, and they may get some help from a few Democrats, but it's up to Republicans. But right now, without John McCain in Washington, D.C., we're talking about 50 to 49. Now, you only need 50, but that is the holding the line, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, the Senate has a part of this process, Jordan, but the American people chose a Republican majority to have that power. So you don't need a single Democrat vote to confirm a nominee. By the way, you don't even need to get them out of the Judiciary Committee favorably. You just need 50 votes on the floor of the Senate. You're right. Without John McCain, it's a 50 to 49 margin if he is not able to make it to Washington, D.C. Jordan, I think they're going to get 3, 4, 5, 6 Democrats. So it gives you a universe of 56 to 58 votes. But look, let's say every Democrat did vote no. By the way, I think some of them would be immediately voted out of office if they do that. But if they did, you have to make sure that you get every Republican vote. So you think about names like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. You think about John McCain, whether or not he'll be able to make it to Washington, D.C. And then you think about the shenanigans that have been pulled by Senator Jeff Flake recently, trying to hold up nominations. I don't expect that would happen in this case, Jordan. But look, we've got to look at Republicans, too. They have a constitutional obligation to consider this nominee. So Republicans and Democrats alike, they are going to have to answer to their voters on this.
We've got a call about Jeff Flake. You know, we've been talking about it this day. Oh, it just dropped. I think maybe because Than, he said shenanigans. And, you know, it is shenanigans when you got this Republican retiring senator who is, again, was not willing to go through a tough primary, may have lost, but is, again, going to stand in the way of every judicial nominee. And surprise, surprise, now there's a Supreme Court vacancy. Does he want his record to be known as that Republican senator? I'm not sure he's gone that liberal and wants to do that much help for the Democrats at this point. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. David in Kentucky on line 3. David, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, how do you do?
Hey, we're good.
What I'm most concerned about is the activist judges that have been in place ever since Obama appeared. I mean, they're an antithetical to the Constitution. Kamala Harris is against the Second Amendment. She's against any Trump supporter having the First Amendment. She's against the Third Amendment for search and seizures. They want to default to the UN. So when they talk about destroying the Constitution, that's their wish. That's their dream. They're pushing a social Marxist agenda. Even John McCain pushes a social Marxist agenda. I immigrated to this country for the Constitution, for apple pie, for all this stuff. But they've been training people in universities and through the Bar Association and activist judges that we are to move towards a socialist, progressive kind of era, which is totally ridiculous. You can't have constitution and private property rights and be a social Marxist at the same time.
Well, listen, I think, David, listen, you're right. I mean, it's been now a while since I was in law school in that setting, but it's absolutely true about the law schools, many bar associations and being far to the left, and most judges being pretty far to the left when they have an ability to rule on these constitutional issues, which many do not. But I think the second part is it's a entirely different view of how you see the Constitution and what kind of document you read this for. And then, Harry, I mean, that goes to the fundamental differences between and kind of the one place the left hasn't been able to fully take over is it's not the other pretty good in the district courts, circuit courts, has been the Supreme Court has been kind of the one halt on everything going pretty far. I mean, so far to the left that we may not have under God and our Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, that's to that point.
Absolutely. So I think many leftists are committed to the notion of inevitable human progress. They see the Constitution arguably, as an impediment to the progress that they wish. Many of them are globalists. Many of them look toward international law and principles, the UN, etc. And so they do not want the president to appoint individuals who will strictly interpret the Constitution as written. So I think the caller is absolutely correct. Many of these individuals who oppose President Trump do not truly believe in the Constitution. They use language from the Constitution as window dressing for their preferences.
We've got some calls coming in too, because it brings up issues of all of the, you know, the Supreme Court issue of judicial nominees. And I want to take some of these as well, as we have this unique opportunity when there is a vacancy to talk more about the Supreme Court and its role and the role of the judiciary, the federal judiciary. John's calling in from California online too. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing? I really appreciate all you do for the people out here listening. Hey, I got a question, a couple actually. How come there's no term limit on the judges in the Supreme Court?
Well, one was clear is it's in the Constitution, Article 3, Section 2. Article 3, Section 1 that establishes the Supreme Court and the inferior courts. It says that they will hold their offices during good behavior. And that's, again, pretty straightforward. That's it. So it's not for a period of years. It's not for a period of time. So this was constitutionally based. And I would say, I mean, we could, Andy, you could kind of get into the reasoning behind this is fairly clear, is that you wanted these judges and then ultimately justices as well to not be as affected by the politics of the day or the moment or the person that appointed them, so that within a few years, whatever president appointed them is long gone and they're still on the court.
That's right. The expression, as you correctly pointed out, in the Constitution is you're appointed to serve during good behavior. And that is, as long as you continue to abide by the Constitution, the laws and the rules and the regulations that are promulgated thereunder. And the idea is to apoliticize the judges. The judges should be the last of the political entities. We know this is not the case, because all you have to do is look at the Ninth Circuit today, which is a political court, or what has happened to our what used to be a very conservative court, the old Fourth Circuit, and now, because of Obama, has turned to the left. But the idea was that the judges are above politics, look at the rule of law, look at the Constitution, are strict constructionists, do not impose their own personal views on what the law should be, but read what the law says and interpret it very strictly.
Yeah, I mean, we can, again, a lot to discuss. We've got a second half hour. People are getting into the politics of the voting on this nominee, the timing of the nominee. Questions about what it really means to have this vacancy, to again have a conservative president choose a conservative to fill Justice Kennedy's seat on the Supreme Court. How important is that? I don't want to underscore, by the way, or downplay the significance of that by saying that the reaction on the left is wrong. I think that they're probably right in the way that they're reacting, because this is what they remember. We say they worship at the altar of abortion. And you're starting to see that firsthand through their initial reaction to this Supreme Court vacancy. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
A notable piece of news out of the Supreme Court today was that we got our GVR in the case. Remember, we're involved in those pro-life pregnancy center cases. So in the Living Well Medical Clinic case versus California and the Attorney General of California, you know that those pregnancy centers won. They don't have to put up those signs saying that there's abortions provided for free or at no cost or low cost at other places. They don't have to do that. And so this, I'm going to read from you directly how the Supreme Court reports that. The petitions for writs of certiorari are granted. The judgments are vacated and the cases are remanded. That's why it's called a GVR, granted, vacated, and remanded to the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit for further consideration in light of National Institute of Family and Life Advocates. So that's how, again, you get your victory in those cases when it's included as part of the other cases. So they attach those cases together. I wanted to let people know that we received that as well. 1-800-684-3110 is the number you call to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Bob's calling in from New York on line five. We're talking about Justice Kennedy's retirement and what it means for the nation and how this battle, and I think it's safe to say it will be a battle, will go in Washington, D.C. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing? I had a my comment in terms of the destruction of the Constitution. On my end, I see it as a ray of hope, a ray of hope for my grandchildren and for my kids. Because my God, it just gives me a good sense that we have a shot, a possibility to bring back some morality back to our country and possibly even to our schools. I mean, our opinions are formed by education and experience. And one of the other callers said the same thing. Holy cow, when we have a discussion over the dinner table with some of the graduates that we have, boy, what comes out is remarkably distressing. And it's what they're taught. And so we have some interesting conversations, say the least. But we have a shot. We have a shot here to make a difference. And I say to all of the people that have been waiting, you know, I say our conservative people seem to not be the ones that jump out and voice and scream and make our opinions heard. The left does. They get things done. We have a shot here to make a difference.
And I think it's taken a very long time, Bob, and when it comes to Supreme Court, because it is lifetime appointments. But I give the conservative movements a lot of credit. They started taking it seriously. Judicial nominations are important to Republican voters, to conservative voters. The Democrats will admit to you. Democrat strategists will admit to you. If you actually listen in the last 24 hours to any of them talking, it's very hard for them to get people excited about this. Yes, you'll hear it from the interest groups like Planned Parenthood, who say, you know, this is the end of Roe versus Wade. But they're talking to a group who is that interested in a single issue like abortion that they would get activated on. So that's a more limited than when you're talking about all Democrats. You see it from the ACLU is basically saying they're giving up on, you know, they have to give up on the court systems. And from the Democrat Party, a little more general, that this is going to make the midterm election such a big deal, even though this may occur before the midterm elections. I do believe that conservatives have done a much better job. And we're going to continue to take your phone calls. We come back from the break. We got a few lines open now, 1-800-684-3110. But I will say, as someone who comes out of that political world, conservatives and conservative activists have realized the importance of the Supreme Court, the importance of the circuit courts as well, and of all these federal court nominees. And they do a much better job than the left at keeping people educated about it, even when there are no vacancies. Just the idea that they are coming at some point, so we have to be always prepared. And that's why I think the conservatives have, just this has been generational, it's not forever, have been the loudest voices and have been, the most key when it comes to this. It's why we're seeing a shift like this potentially at the Supreme Court. We come back, we take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Great Facebook comment came in from Pam as she's listening to the show today, and we're, I think, doing a service for you because I imagine that most of you may not be reading the Planned Parenthood or ACLU or even the Democrat Party emails that come out immediately after you see a retirement from the Supreme Court. You might not be tuning in to get Chris Matthews' reaction or the reaction from MSNBC. And so we've been trying to, again, or Democrat senators for that place. So we've been trying to give you some of that just to kind of underscore what it's going to feel like, this battle. But Pam writes, with the rhetoric this strong with this retirement, talking about Justice Kennedy's, I cannot imagine what the left will do if there is another retirement from a more liberal justice. I mean, there is. We've talked about this is still a very much an aging court. I'll go to Annie and Harry on this. I mean, this is, again, it's not outside the realm that there could be more retirements in the next, especially if President Trump was to be reelected. I mean, in the next 6 years, could certainly be the case.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Jordan. I think the enduring legacy of a president is primarily a function of his or her nominees as Article III judges, and particularly justices of the United States Supreme Court. So you could see a seismic shift on the Supreme Court if one of the liberal justices decides to retire. And that is very probable over the next 2 to 6 year period. And so President Trump, should he be reelected, will likely have an opportunity to reshape the Supreme Court for at least a generation.
Right, so, that it would not be maybe this 5-4, but it could be even a 6-3 situation. But we're not to that point yet. I think that the truth is we're at the point right now where we're preparing for battle. Again, I want to take people's calls because we do have a lot of good calls coming in that people remember the last battle for the Supreme Court, as well as the attempt when Republicans held back on the Merrick Garland nomination. Mark's calling in from Illinois on line 4 because there's already some talk about that. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. And I sleep better at night knowing you guys are on the job. I can tell you that.
Thanks, Mark.
But I hear that Chuck Schumer is bringing up the not nominating a president during an election, but isn't that primarily only presidential elections, not a midterm election?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that, you know, you're talking about what's called the Biden rule, and that came into play. Republicans utilized that then. It was before the presidential election. And again, the president who gets to decide make the appointment of the justice themselves. And again, they also had the votes to prevent a vote. I mean, this time around, Democrats don't. They could talk about theories and ideas all they want. So it's not really, it's not realistic, but it's also not a presidential election year.
It's almost humorous, Jordan, that Chuck Schumer is bringing this up. I think Mark knows more about Senate precedent than does Chuck Schumer. Yeah, he's correct. The Biden rule said that in the last year of a presidential term, these nominations would be stalled. Of course, we're barely past the first year of President Trump's term. And I would just remind Chuck Schumer of when Elena Kagan was confirmed. It was August of 2010, almost the identical period in the term that we're in for President Trump right now. And then again, Jordan, I mean, even the Biden rule, it's not like that is as binding as you said. The Senate gets to determine how it will proceed on these nominations, and the American people chose a Republican Senate. So really, as long as they like the nominee that President Trump sends forward, even the Biden rule doesn't control here. But Chuck Schumer doesn't know what he's talking about. We're a little more than a year into President Trump's term, almost the exact period where Elena Kagan was confirmed when President Obama nominated her.
1-800-684-3110. A few lines open for you. And we're taking a variety of calls now at this point. We've kind of gone through how the left has been putting this together and what this fight will look like. And we don't have a nominee yet. And later shows, we'll start going through that list of 25 that President Trump says he will select from. We've done research on all 25 of those. I think when my dad's back in the studio to get his insight on that will be very important. But on this, within this first 24 hours, we really wanted to get people's questions, kind of get the feel and the tone of the country and the nation. And I think that this is a good call coming in just about the general impact of the court. On line one, Randy from Texas. Randy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I think this is very encouraging news that there's an opportunity now for a new appointment. I'm very concerned, though, about the reaction from the liberal crowd, because recently there's been threats of violence, I mean, unheard of threats of violence. And so this entire scenario and what the possibilities are, I'm concerned about. I'd like to know what you think about that and what we should be prepared for.
I think that the left would like people to go into the streets. I mean, I think I wouldn't say they want violence, by the way, peaceful protest. They'd like to see it in the way it's kind of like in the George W. Bush days with the war in Iraq and those massive protests. By the way, the election there, President Bush was reelected even with those protests in the streets. So again, like I kind of underscored, the left hasn't been very good at getting so excited about Supreme Court nominees. It's tough for me to imagine that they get more than their handful of usual protesters out on this kind of issue. It's not their top issue. And there's also a lot of division amongst Democrats right now, because you have this far left Democrat party emerging, Democrat socialist, and then you've got kind of the mainstream Democrats. It's a midterm election year. So then you got those Democrats from red or purple states who may have to vote for this nominee to try and save their own seats.
Yeah, I would just say good luck winning the Electoral College ever again, if that's the approach that they're going to take, Jordan. I mean, those comments that you've been playing from Kamala Harris, that will get you elected statewide in California. But you know where it will never get you elected is places like West Virginia and Indiana and North Dakota and Missouri, and then all across the Rust Belt that President Trump swept, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin. So I would just, they're probably not looking to me for political advice, but if the left in Washington, D.C. wants to follow Kamala Harris his lead, I think they're going to go decades without anyone in the White House, because that just does not play politically across America. And I would just say this, Jordan, this is a point where a political impact in the process is appropriate. The founders wanted the Senate, who are elected across this great country, to have this say in it. So they wanted the justices to be free from political impact, but they did not want rhetoric like that's coming out of Kamala Harris to be able to dictate who would sit on the court, and appropriately so.
Now, here's again Chris Matthews. He's got this view, again, kind of like Randy's phone call. He's trying to give advice to all Democrats. I think, again, Than, you gave much better Democrat strategy than Chris Matthews. If I was a Democrat running in a place like Missouri right now, I would not follow his advice. Take a listen, Byte 19, Chris Matthews. This is what he believes all Democrats should be doing. And I think it underscores what I said. They're just not very good at handling this, these nominees, and they haven't been very good at making it a core issue to their base.
I tell you, the Democratic base is wired now
for a revolt, this will be the trigger for it. If they allow this, they shouldn't have a meeting with any of his nominees. They shouldn't have any hearings. They shouldn't show up for any hearings. They should fight this tooth and nail. I'm telling you, I know politics. And right now, this is the time for the Democratic base to roar up and say no more.
There's not enough of those Democrats around right now. I mean, first of all, there's too many of the Democrats that are still the Joe Manchin Democrat. I mean, they're not all taken to the streets. They're not all Kamala Harris. And certainly that could be a strain, which, again, you kind of welcome as a conservative, that if you saw more of them in Washington. But the truth is, this is now a Supreme Court nominee has never been able to really get the left as excited as some of the pundits and maybe those directly involved in politics would hope it could be.
Jordan, if Democrats in the United States Senate take Chris Matthews' advice, two things are going to happen. Number one, the nominee that President Trump puts forward is still going to be on the Supreme Court. They are not going to have the ability to stop him or her, so they're not going to change the outcome. But then the second thing that's going to happen, Jordan, is a bunch of them are going to lose the next time they go to the ballot box. And just this cycle alone, I would tell you that Joe Donnelly, Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Manchin, Claire McCaskill, none of them will hold on to their Senate seat if they oppose this nomination. Chris Matthews can say all he wants, but the Democrats cannot stop this nominee. They can only lose their Senate seats.
Yeah, not a good time for those four not to show up to any hearings or fight it tooth and nail and not to meet with the nominee. It would not be good imagery for them. When we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls on all these topics and really get into it again a little bit more. Thinking about this down the road, 1-800-684-3110. We believe this process will be pretty quick. I mean, we're talking about, again, heading into probably a July announcement. And again, the fall, having the nomination move forward so that the person who is chosen to be on the Supreme Court is in place for the first day of the court. That's in October. We'll take your phone calls again. That's what we do in the final segment of the broadcast. We go through every call that we can. I think we've laid out everything for you. Now it's time to take your calls and questions. 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot of great info up at aclj.org right now. That we've got videos from yesterday about when this retirement initially happened. That's up through our Facebook page, through ACLJ's Facebook page, the Jay Sekulow Facebook page. But there's great information up about the recent Supreme Court cases that have come down. We shouldn't, again, forget those three victories in a row earlier this week. That's all up at aclj.org. We come back, we take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. As you know, Pastor Andrew is facing charges of, quote, Christianization, on trial for simply living out his Christian faith. He could spend the rest of his life in a Turkish prison. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're aggressively advocating for Pastor Andrew's freedom. We've mobilized our international offices. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved, and we've submitted a critical legal document to the United Nations. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.
All right, we talked about revolts. We've talked about the destruction of the Constitution. We've talked about Planned Parenthood finally coming clean on what they actually care about when there's a Supreme Court vacancy. I've got their email. This time it doesn't talk about women's health. It just talks about abortion, interesting enough. So they actually come clean about that. The ACLU giving up on law. Now you can become an ACLU voter because they think that the courts will no longer be a place they can be victorious, I guess. The Democrats, the Democratic National Committee believes that this will be the most important midterm election. Of course, this nominee should be in place before that midterm election. So maybe a very important, I mean, I think elections are always important and the makeup of Congress is important, but they may be, again, wrong in their assessment about when this nominee will move forward. But this is a segment we go through as many calls as we can, and we want to go right to those phone calls. Daryl in Alabama online too. Daryl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have two quick questions. What are the requirements that even dictate for a Supreme Court justice to be elected? And secondly, why is the number nine? What dictates only nine Supreme Court justices?
So, I mean, they are chosen by the President of the United States. It's the lifetime appointments. The Constitution is what puts together that these would be the lifetime appointment. And that the lower courts, which we don't often talk about, are actually created by the Supreme Court decides to create the circuit courts and the district court system that we have. But what about some of the other kind of
There's nothing that says it has to be nine justices. It's just traditional. No, right. President Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, tried to pack the court by increasing the number of justices in the 40s to get through the social engineering projects that he was trying to institute to get the country back on its feet. That didn't work. It's been nine. It's an odd number so that there is always not, you know, an even or a tie vote. You don't even have to be a lawyer to be on the Supreme Court of the United States. Justice Robert Jackson, who was one of the famous justices of the Supreme Court of the United States and a prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials, was not a lawyer. So there's no requirement that you have a law degree, and there's no magic to the number nine.
No, I mean, and so, and really the idea is that you have to be chosen by the president and you have to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. And again, the idea through that is that by both of those checks, you're going to have someone who's qualified and who's been vetted publicly. They've gone through a question process through those U.S. senators and through the interview process of a U.S. president who makes that decision, knowing even if, for a long time now, it may not have always been the case, but for a long time now, this has been part or the major part of their legacy are these nominees that exist for much longer to the court than their actual presidencies exist. Back to the phones, though, we go. Let's go to Nydia in New Jersey on line six. Nydia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, gentlemen, I just want to know, what is the validity of the argument that the new conservative Supreme Court justice would be able to overturn Roe v. Wade? Give me like an argument to say back to them that that's not true, or is it true?
Well, it just there has to be the right a case that comes forward that would put the facts together that would technically overturn Roe versus Wade. I'll give you, there's one example, there's legislation moving in some states, there's an abortion ban after 15 weeks. So if that would be a ban that so far has not been able to make it through the courts. So you could look at incrementally bans like that, kind of chipping away at this universal right to abortion. You could also see, Harry, a state willing to say, we ban all abortion. We ban it.
Absolutely.
And then if you put that in the books, there's a legal challenge to it. It could make its way. The court doesn't have to take it, but it could make its way. They'd likely lose all the way up through the process until they made it to the Supreme Court. And still, again, on the narrowest of margins, even with a nominee that we could, let's say, assume will likely be someone who's pro-life based on the facts of the case.
I think the quintessential question is whether Roe v. Wade was decided consistent with the text of the Constitution in the first place. And so I think that is where we start. And so there is nothing in the Constitution that provides a right to an abortion. Abortions were indeed legal before Roe v. Wade, but it was a state issue. So what Roe v. Wade did, it federalized the issue. And it enforced a uniform policy for each and every state. So even if Roe v. Wade were overturned, it's very possible that many states would retain the right to an abortion, but not every state would be compelled to comply with the Supreme Court's ruling.
Now go back to a state issue. Tony's been holding on. He wants the panel to weigh in on this issue. He's calling in from New Jersey. Tony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How you doing, Jordan? And my constant prayers for Pastor Brunson.
Thank you.
My question is really your the whole panel's opinion. I've always wondered what motivates a Supreme Court justice to finally pack it in and retire. And with this next choice, I see that it's really going to be more conservative now. I was wondering if Ruth Bader might be now inclined to really say, I've done what I have done in my life, and I think this will be the time to retire.
Well, I mean, a lot of it, Tony, is politically based. I mean, you will see that they will, if they get to choose, will retire based off the party that nominated them, even if the party's somewhat changed since they are. Sandra Day O'Connor talked about that, and you saw Justice Kennedy doing that. Some of it, again, is obviously health-related, life-related, that you can't always – make those decisions, but I think it's pure speculation at those points. Usually, though, I think you could line up the political choice most try to make, but that's not always the case.
No, I think it's safe to say that Justice Ginsburg will never quit until God decides that it's time for her to quit. She is not leaving that court. She is a devout, committed leftist, a socialist, a Democrat in the most liberal sense of the term that we have come to paint today. She is not going to quit. She's 83 or 84 years old. She sees the court moving in a right direction now. She is determined to stay there. I don't think that there's any way in the world, absent an act of God, that she's going to be moved from that court.
Kevin's got an interesting call in Nevada on line one, and we got one more call to take. Kevin, you're on the air.
Thanks, Jordan. Love you guys. You do a great job.
Thank you.
So my question is, if the president nominates Senator Mike Lee from Utah, what happens to his vote in the Senate?
So, Than, this is interesting. up through, I guess, him becoming a justice, the thinking is that he could cast a vote for himself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He would remain a senator, and he could cast a vote for himself if he needed to. We don't know if he would or not, Jordan, although I would predict to you that if that vote were needed, I'll bet you'd see Senator Mike Lee on the floor voting for Justice Mike Lee.
So there you go, Kevin. I hope we answered that question and a lot of your questions today on the air. Briefly, just around the panel, we think that this, again, the rhetoric will be very heated, but do you think this can get done before by October, by the Supreme Court coming back?
Yes, I do. I think that Mitch McConnell has made a decision that he's going to have a full complement of a court beginning in the October term, and I think it's going to happen.
Harry?
I agree, but I also believe that supporters of the Constitution should buckle up and prepare for a fight.
And Than, what do you think, you know, in D.C., that's where, you know, everything is moving towards. Is there anything that could come to light that would change that?
I don't think so. I will predict for you, Jordan, September 12th is the day we get confirmation of a new justice.
September 12th. That's quite a prediction. You heard it here on Jay Sekulow Live. We will talk to you next time.
The life of an American pastor hangs in the balance. Pastor Andrew Brunson is on trial in Turkey. We're working directly with the State Department and alongside members of Congress. The Vice President is involved. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. Fight for the freedom of Pastor Andrew. It's time to bring an end to this sham trial. It's time for Pastor Andrew to come home. Add your name to our petition right now online at aclj.org.